whole self, soul, spirit, and body. And listen, and keep what God wants to use it in doing for us this morning. We want to welcome you, sir, to the podium. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The Lord is good.
All the time.
I said the Lord is good.
All the time.
First of all, I want to thank the leadership of the house for giving me this opportunity to share the word of God with the people of God. This is not my first time of coming here to this same hall. And each time I have blessed myself for coming. And I trust that today you will be blessed also in Jesus' name. So, thank you very much for having me come here to come and teach the word of God. When I was giving the letter of invitation, I want to speak about, I told my guy lady, I said, ABC of mentoring. I said, do I look like I know anything about mentoring? I said, I'm sure you can do it. I said, no problem, sir. And so as I was thinking and meditating about it, the number of things came to my mind. That's what I'm talking about this morning. The ABCs of mentoring. And the number of things came to my mind. Let's give all those women know is the Miles Monroe is a very, is somebody who has spoken at length on this kind of matter. And it was in Enugu recently. That was a few months ago, and I attended his conference. If I didn't remember on time, I have printed the things I wrote out there so I can be reading them out to us, but a lot of them are in my head. And then he talked about the concept of leadership, and some of the things I'm going to say, I first heard him say it, alright? And this morning, I'm going to teach us what really, I mean, my own understanding. You know, there was a time between Elijah, David. It was a small boy going to fight a giant, so the king dressed him up. And you know, he tried the garment, the armor and everything. He said, I'm not used to this one. Do you understand? Let me do the one I'm used to. So this morning, I want to preach the way I'm used to preaching. Amen? I will not give lectures on A, B, and C. I'm just going to talk about what I have come to understand about mentoring. And the way John said it, he said, that which was from the beginning, which our eyes saw, you know, I'm going to paraphrase it. Say, which our hands handled concerning the word of life. That's what we are delivering to you. And I'm going to talk about that again as I'm going on. So what I'm doing this morning is talking about what I have handled and what, I mean, my own personal experience in being taught by people and teaching other people also. And that's what I'm going to share with us this morning on the ABCs of mentoring. For me, it's not an unusual topic. I'm used to talking on faith. I'm used to talking about other, you know, more Bible-sounding topics. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, like the concept of the resurrection and stuff like that. But this one of mentoring this morning, I'm sure you'll be blessed as I go into using my own garment that I'm used to. So I'll preach more like I'm preaching rather than taking the topic A, B, and C. Please, you understand how I'm making my excuses this morning? Alright, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Can we just bow our heads? Let me just say a word of prayer as I begin my teaching for this morning. Father, we thank you for the gap. I pray that one. You will address this one. Okay. Father, we thank you for the gathering of your people this morning. Lord, I thank you because your Holy Spirit has been present this morning and your children have been gathered. Lord, as I begin to teach, Lord, give us understanding again by the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lord, let me speak your word alone. Let the hearts of men perceive only your truth in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And let all the glory be given to your most holy name alone in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The Lord is good.
All the time.
I said the Lord is good.
All the time.
I said the Lord is good.
All the time.
Let me take a few texts of the scriptures to begin what I want to share this morning. And the first one I'll take from the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the background of this story, before we read it, let's see why Paul wrote this to Timothy. Timothy was a young man. People have given his age, alright? Some said he was 18. I don't know whether That's true, but I know that's possible, alright? I know the exact age that it was. And someone said the church she was supposed to pastor, that at the time they were up to 20,000 people. Again, I'm quoting what other people said. I wasn't there then, it was many years ago, alright? But if I would know one thing for sure, he was a very young man. And if you see the way Paul wrote to him, he was writing to him as a man who was really young. And being that young, Paul put him in charge of such a large assembly. And that's why he was writing this to him, to tell him how to conduct himself in the church where he has found himself, as like you see in this modern days, as a pastor of that church. Paul was writing to him the principles to handle that, even though he was a young man. And among the things he wrote to him, I want just want to read a few verses, about 7 verses, from verse 12 of the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now because he was a young man, he said, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." He said in verse 13, "Till I come, give attention to reading," that is the reading of the scripture, "to exhortation, and to doctrine," that is the teaching of the word of God. "Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate," please notice this verse 15, "meditate on these things," that is the things I have written to you, "give yourself entirely to them." Now when you do this, say your progress will be evident to all. And that said in verse 16, the last one I want to read, "Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine," that is the teaching of the word of God. "Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you." Now, there's, like I said, why Paul wrote this was because it was a young man he was dealing with. And the first line I want to bring out a principle that we'll find there. He said, "Let no one despise your youth." Now, he said, there's a principle for making sure nobody despises your youth. And it's not by going around and saying, "Look, I'm the pastor of this church and you are supposed to respect your pastor." Now, do you understand? There are different ways you can exert your authority. You can go out and shout and say, "I am the man in charge, everybody must obey." But Paul said to Timothy, that's not the principle you are going to use. This is the principle you will use. You will be an example. Are you getting what I'm saying? You will be what? An example. That is, by your conduct, you will be an example to other people. And that's how they will not despise your youth. No, this might make you laugh. Now, I came to a little bit about, I came to take up my job as a consultant pathologist at UNTH in the year 2000. That was 9 years ago, but 9 years and a month or two now. And I remember a few months after I arrived, we were organizing a revision course in ONG. That's obstetrics and gynecology. And I was asked to come and give some lectures in pathology for the resident doctors that are coming for the course. And it was a Saturday that I was supposed to teach. On that Saturday, I remember I came wearing a pair of jeans, a t-shirt, and a pair of sandals. And listen, I was teaching qualified doctors. So, now, I don't know how old I look now, but imagine how old I looked. Just subtract like 10 years from what I look right now. That was 9 years ago, about 9 years ago, yes. Just about 9 years from what I look like right now. So I was a little much younger than this. I've seen my picture that time. I was leaner than this. I didn't have any gray that time. My head was very full, all over here. Alright? Then, they have receded a bit. And time has passed. So my remove 9 years from what I look like right now. So I entered into the hall. It was a full hall, about the size of this place. And the place was full. And all of them looked at me. And started laughing. You know, they look at it and say, "Is this a lecture?" Now, understand that most of the people coming to teach were professors, people who have been in this profession for a long time. So they look at me like, "Is this the boy coming to give the lecture?" So I walked to them and said, "Is this a class of gynecology, for revision for gynecologists?" They said, "Yes." I said, "All right." So they look like, "What are you looking for? Are you the janitor? Are you sweeping the floor? Are you serving us our refreshments? Or what?" This was a Saturday. I was wearing a pair of jeans, a t-shirt, alright? No, not a t-shirt, a big shirt. The shirt was flowing, alright? And I was wearing sandals. And in my typical, there's a way I teach normally. I'm a lecturer in university, alright? University of Nigeria, local campus. I tend to go to class with just my writing materials. There's a reason why I do like that. I tend tell you everything you want to learn is in the book. I'm just supposed to come and explain. So I just walked in and I said, please, where are the writing materials? So they showed them to me, I picked them up. And they were still looking like, you can't be serious. What are you looking for? So I walked up to the stage, I said, good morning. I am Dr. Nishina. Then some of them believe that this one actually is serious. Because the outline showed that one Dr. Nishina is going to give 2 hours of lecture on cancers of certain types and how to treat those, things like that. So I started teaching. So if I instantly I recognized somebody who I knew from university was sitting down there. Anyway, I began to give my lecture. After like 15 minutes, everybody settled down properly. Then I listened. After 1 hour, they really enjoyed the lecture. At the end of the second hour, somebody came to take over the time, said, I beg, like, wait, let's finish. When I finished the lecture, the whole class, without me saying anything, they stood up and started clapping. Like, when I came in, they looked like this youth. When I finished, they said, this man, no book. Do you understand what I'm going to explain? And that time, true, I don't lie, that time I knew book very well because I just finished my postgraduate training. My head was still full, you know, bursting from every corner. With a lot of materials, not too much experience, but plenty of materials. You know? Now, that's what Paul was saying to Timothy. That when you show up, you may look young, but if you are an example in what you say, if you are an example in your conduct, if you are an example in how you show love to the brethren, if your spirit, when the Bible uses the word spirit, you have to understand the context in which it speaks. It's talking about your motivation, your purpose. Why are you doing the things you are doing? You know, let me give an example. The spirit of what a lot of Nigerians do today is corruption, you know? That is, anytime they are doing something, they want to get something. That's what I mean by spirit. But if you see that you are moving, if they see that you are moving because you want to impact something, and then they see your faith and your purity in which you deal with everything, he said, then you will be an example to them. And then they will not look down on the fact that you are young. That also happened to Timothy. Solomon, I wanted to say. When Solomon took over as king, he was really a young boy. And everybody looked at him like, what can this boy do? But after he delivered a few judgments, and they saw the wisdom with which he delivered his judgments, instantly they knew that God must be with this our king. I'm talking about the ABCs of mentorship. Now, this is what I want to bring out. What is a mentor? Let's start from there. Simply put, we can use dictionary definition and all of that, but let me put something that's very simple that we can all relate to. Simply put, somebody that we look up to. Somebody that people look up to show us direction. Somebody that has walked a way before us before, and we want to ask him for how to walk that particular path. That's who a mentor is. A mentor is somebody that you look to as an example of faith, because we are believers. So our mentor is somebody that will lead us in the direction of faith. How to walk in a manner that is pleasing to God. How to walk in life and be Christ-like in all that we do. That's who a mentor is. Do you understand what I mean by that? Now, not twice in life. You know, people have walked up to me before several times and said that, please, I want you to be my mentor. And when they will say that, I don't know, like, what am I supposed to do as a mentor? Alright? I'll tell you how I answer sometimes, but before I say that, twice in life, people have introduced me to other people and said, this is my mentor, and both times they have surprised me. Now, one of the times it happened, it was a young man, a lawyer. Then he was in law school. And Professor, what's his name now? Mamsa Professor. Jerry Gara was in town. And they invited him, he was the chairman of a special program that they had. And so the man came, that day I had something to do. When I finished where I was preaching, I now came for the meeting. So I came a bit late. So as soon as I entered, they announced my name that I should come to the high table. And seated at the head of the high table was Professor Jerry Gama. So as I walked up there, the young man who invited me, the president of class one, Kingsley, that's his name, he came out to receive me and walked me over to where Professor Gana was seated, and the man rose up to greet me. Very nice man. And so the young man turned to him and said, sir, this is Dr. Vishnu, we call him Pastor Ranki. He's my mentor. And that was the first time, I think, in my life I was hearing that word being used to describe me. So the man gave me a very big hug, shook my hand very well, because he knew the young man very well. you know, and then we sat down. And I noted that this man said, oh, that's my mentor. Then once we went for an oath taking ceremony, doctors just graduated, and I went there to go and join some of my students who are also my friends. So as we were taking pictures, there was one young man who was one of my best students. So he called me to introduce me to his father. So he said, ah, daddy, this is Dr. Bishop, the man I told you about. He's my mentor. Ah, you know the interesting part? Both of them never came to me one day and said, sir, please, I want you to be my mentor. Did you notice that? Now, several other times people have come and said, sir, I want you to be my mentor. And I asked them, what am I supposed to do? Do you understand what I mean? Now, over time, this was things that happened over the last many years in my life, and I've had a lot of experiences. And I noticed that as a mentor, I wasn't supposed to do anything. What I mean is this. It's either I'm a mentor, I am not the person. And that one of coming to ask, can you be my mentor, is unnecessary. Do you get my point? It's very, very unnecessary. The young man, the first one who I said introduced me to Professor Gala, is he calls almost his wife, he now practices law in Abuja, and he wants to go to the academic sector. A few weeks ago, no, last week, precisely, he called and said, well, how about the appointment with this particular university? He says, I'm really thinking about forgetting it, they are wasting time. I said, no, please, don't do that. And once I said that, you keep quiet and start listening now for the lecture I'm going to give. I told you the beauty of being a lecturer, that's not about money. Look, they can't, if you want to work hard, you can make money, better money elsewhere. That's about the ability, the opportunity you have to impact the life of young people. I discussed, by the time I finished speaking with him, he said, sir, that's why I like to call you. That, you know, I was getting discouraged. Now you have energized me more. It's okay, I'll call the vice chancellor next week and let me see what they are coming up with. Now, I've related with that young man now for maybe the last, that would be since 2003, thereabouts, about 6 years now. And if the man says, this man is my mentor, I understand what he means because of the way we related. The first day I met his father happened to be one of the most senior judges in Enugu State here. Maybe one of the top two senior judges in Enugu State. So that day, he drove me, I went to Enugu to do something, so I said, let's go, so he drove. So as we came back, I was going to drop him at home. His father was at their gate. I said, oh, that's my dad. Let's go and greet him. So I walked up to him and to introduce his father. I said, oh, this is Pastor Banky. Ah, the father was so excited. He said, oh, so you are the Banky. Finally, we are meeting. He said, since my son met you, he has become a better Christian. And we have become better Christians in our home also because of the influence. He prayed for me. He thanked me very well. I mean, I was joyful, you know, in my spirit. Now, what am I trying to say there? What made me the young man's mentor is simple. Over the years, I've noticed, if he has to make serious decisions, but the young woman he married, you know why he married her? He had met the woman before and there were some issues, you know, here and there. And then when we were talking, and I told him something about when I met my wife, how I met my wife, and then how we got married. He said, are you serious? Yes, I didn't know what was in his mind. The boy got the way I disappeared. A few days later, he came back and told me that he has got to propose to one young woman and she has like it. And I said, that's very good. And I knew the lady, they told me about her before. I said, oh, that's good. And I said, well, she did you tell me the truth? I said, what? He said, can I remember some days ago when we're talking? I said, yes. Those things that you said, that was what gave me courage. I just got up and I was encouraged. Courage entered into me and they are married now, but they have a little daughter. Now, what does it mean to be a mentor? That's what we're talking about. It's simple. It means to be an example. Now, let me explain the meaning of the word hypocrite. It will help me explain something. What does it mean to be a hypocrite? Let me start with that. The word hypocrite in Greek actually derived from a Greek word, which in Greek actually means actor. Like, now let me say, maybe you want to describe it. Let's talk about one famous Nigerian. Okay, the man that was kidnapped recently. Kemo. No. They released the DJ Logan. Or Sophia. So, if a Greek man wants to describe Sophia, he'll say he's a hypocrite. Now, that's not an insult. That's his profession. The word is actor in Greek. That we know that the man is Kemo or something like that. We're not calling like somebody say Sophia. Now, Sophia is a real name. Just because he acted the role of Sophia in London, you know, that kind of thing. Uh-huh. So, that is, his life is the life of an actor. When you see him on the screen, you know that's not what he is in real life. There's this woman they call Mamaji. She's very wicked in every room. She's an evil soul in every room. But I'm sure in real life, she may not be like that. There was one man who acted, I think Christopher Reeve, I think, or one man, who acted Dracula. Dracula was one very famous series of horror movies. And I heard that once, the man was in a store, and the young boy saw him and started crying and ran to go and meet the mother. Why? Because he just saw Dracula. He told the man was going to sprout teeth and suck his blood. That's who an actor is. That is, what he is on the screen or on the stage is not what he is in real life. So when the Bible wanted to describe in Christianity, those who are one thing in church and another thing at home, they call them actors. And that's where the word hypocrite came from. Hypocrite is the Greek word for an actor. Now, who's an actor, therefore, is somebody, like we said, who is one thing outside, but really inside is another thing. When we're talking about being a mentor, it's not about being, all right, outwardly, acting. It's not about, it's not about doing some things. It's not about a series of actions that one takes. It is about being something. That's what I want to say. It's not about acting. Do you understand? When I was serving, I served in 1992-93 in Nigeria Army, 3rd Mechanized Battalion in Sati. That's in Taraba State. There was one sergeant in our barracks that time. He was in our clinic. We call the place the MIR, Medical Inspection Room. Let me just make his name Sergeant G, alright? Sergeant G used to attend Deeper Life. It's he and his wife. But you can be sure that man did not believe in the God that he served there. I don't care how many times he went to church. I want you to annoy me about Sergeant G. Was that. In fact, there are times I want to shout at him like, Sergeant, will you shut up and get away from there? But I couldn't because I respected my elders. But in my heart, I would be punching him and shooting him and telling him to shut up. But outwardly, I would just be smiling. Why? Because if we ever get to a discussion on Christianity, he was always on my side. And that thing used to annoy me. I wanted him to be my opponent so that we could argue. Anything I said will be on my side. There's a child of God, and I'll be looking at this side. Why? Because he was a nurse, I think. But he was trained a bit in paramedical practice. And all the abortions they did, they were as kids. He will use the equipment in our hospital at night when I'm not there. He was doing it before I came. It's not, I didn't go to the hospital. I was a youth copper doctor, come and work here. During the day, I was in charge. I gave all the instructions, it was military setting, all my orders were carried out to the letter. At night, Sanji will come back, open the doors, and start his own nocturnal practice. The annoying part was that during the day, Sanji was always on my side. And that was what used to annoy me. That was when I understood why somebody was following Paul around. I said, these are the servants of God who are God. What nonsense is this? Look at this demon testifying. So he cast out the devil after the girl. I wish I could cast out the devil after my But I could not. The man was a horror actor. His real life was something else. No matter the principle of mentoring you teach him, he can never mentor anybody because he doesn't believe in what you are saying. What is the number one principle, therefore, of mentoring? It is becoming, not just doing. Do you understand what I mean? That is becoming something. You know, after Paul wrote to Timothy, I wanted to read all of that to bring an issue. How was supposed to become an example to the believers? What was he going to use as his instrument? Paul said it like this. I want to highlight a few things. In verse 13, he said, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Then you notice something he said in verse 15. He said, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them. That way your progress will be evidence to all. Now, what does that mean? Like I mentioned earlier, I teach in the university. And one of the things I always tell my students, I say, you're not in school to pass exams. Not at all. This university was not set up to help you pass exams. You came to school, your father is paying fees, the university was set up so that you might learn. Learning is the aim.
I said, you're not supposed to structure your life so that you try and pass. No, you're supposed to structure your life to learn. When you will have learned, then passing will come to you automatically. That the exam is a test of whether you learned or you did not learn. Please, I hope you know what I'm saying. That don't try and pass. No, try and learn. If you learn, you will pass automatically. It's not possible that you will now fail when you have learned. But what the students tend to do all the time, they think it's about passing. So you have maybe 16 weeks in a semester. The man plays 12 weeks or 13 weeks, then the last 3 weeks, he starts trying to practice so that he might pass. Meanwhile, you were not sent here to pass. If you end up passing, I had a colleague like that who ended up passing without learning. It's possible. You can learn the tricks of the exam. This was postgraduate. He learned the tricks. He knew how to crash. He would go for some revision courses and all of that. He knew that when they do revision courses, they tend to reflect off for spot. And then there are some, like our practicals, there's a set kind of practicals they will set. The man will exercise himself. Eventually, then he may have gone for the exam one of those times in which the examiners were tired of failing people. You know, it happens like that. They're just frustrated. So maybe then he passed. Except that he didn't learn properly. Then one day, he wanted to go for a postgraduate course in America. They came back to the same institution to come and meet my chief there. Please, I want to learn some things. And he said, look at this now. Yes, you passed, but you did not learn. And Americans, you know who Americans are, they don't care about the certificates you carry and all of that. They want to see what you can do. Is that America? You can give you right there, do it, let me see. He now went back and started trying to learn. What am I saying? Christianity, being a mentor, is to first become something ourselves. Not trying to learn the principles of teaching other people. Please, I hope you know what I'm saying. We're not trying to learn how to teach other people. If we become, and that's what Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, take heed in verse 16, unto yourself. If you take care of yourself, then you will be converted, alright? You will be converted to something, and then automatically you will become an example to other people. That's what it is. In faith, you know, there's something I say when I preach. I said most Christians go for prayer meetings, but they don't pray. And what does that mean? I said, we can go all night. This is how I know we will pray. You know, we can have 1,000 people gathered. Say, brother, let us pray for our nation. And we all gather. And they say, the whole night prayer will start. Let us rebuke the devil. We'll rebuke the devil. The devil over the airways, then over the seas near Lagos. We will do all of that all night. And next morning, as soon as we leave, then you buy a newspaper. And you hear that they kidnap somebody. You buy a newspaper, say Charles Obudu is going to the governor. Ah, you buy another newspaper. You know, as I even say, this country is useless. In fact, this country is dead. I don't know, these leaders, they are just going to ruin all of us. And as it was, hey, he just came from one whole night of prayer. He did not pray. I was in for one music in my car a few days ago. The man said, people don't realize, they say that when they are praying, they are actually complaining, they don't pray. That they come there to complain and complain and complain. By the time they leave the place, they are still complaining. Are you getting my point? They are not of faith. Therefore, their prayers don't count. Let me say it again. If you are like that, all the prayer you claim to pray for the nation has not been counted. I'm sorry. But that's a matter of fact. You can't finish praying and then say, this country is useless. You have with your own mouth annulled all the prayer that you prayed. I just know that this company is not going forward. I'm sorry for my children. How am I supposed to respond? You see, it's simple. You say, why do the heathen rage? They will soon get tired. In Jesus' name, we are going somewhere. Despite all their antics, we will see prosper whether they like it or not. In fact, there's one I always say. I say, when you see plenty of trouble, I said, anytime Jesus will cast out demons, they always used to fight. So it's a sign of a devil going out. The Bible says that the devil tear him, like King James say, you know, rent him sore, but he still left. You see, just going to be like the devil, like, you, I said, come out. Out we are going. There's nothing else you can do. The devil will just kill peace in the process, but it's going. It happens. So that's how we're supposed to respond. What am I saying? The first thing we do is that we become something.
If you read the book of Acts chapter 20, let's open there, I'll just quote it, verse 28. When Paul was departing from Ephesus, the same thing he told the elders, he said, take heed, he said, therefore, take heed to yourselves, that's the first thing you do, and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Now, what was this trying to explain? The principle I want to bring out from there is that these are supposed to be the elders of the pastors of the church. He now said to them, the first thing you do is to take heed, not to the church, but to what? To yourselves. He said, first you take heed to yourself. What is the ABC of mentoring? It's simple. It is, I first become something, and automatically I am an example. But this is a men's conference, it said, repositioned for exploits. And that's what I want to explain. If you see, there's one scripture I'll read and I'll pass the rest of my comments and I'll close. Romans chapter 12. Now, I learned something many years ago from Miles Monroe. I had this cassette for a very long time, a videotape, and then, I don't know, one of my friends, I lent it to him, he never returned it. He talked about motivating men to take their place in life. That's what he explained. And some of the things I learned, it was many years ago, especially from 1993, that I learned that in 1994, that I got the tape. Let me read this scripture and I'll say some of the things I want to say based on a lot of them, based on what I learned from God, Miles Monroe talks in that particular message titled Motivating Men to Take Their Place in Life. Now let's read Romans chapter 12. It said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. I'm using your King James Version. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing. Remember, I'm talking about becoming something. Then do not be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, the transformation is what I want to talk about. It said it comes by the renewing of minds. And what is mind? If you look at the way the Bible, the Greek talks about the word mind here. Mind talks about perspective. Do you understand my point? How you see and interpret things. Let me quickly explain that. Now, I'm from Ondo State. Alright? My father was born in Owo. I was also born in Owo. Alright? I married a woman from Delta State. And I live in Enugu State. And essentially my children were born here. Now, this is Nigeria. When I was coming to Enugu then, people said, why are you going to this? I said, what's wrong with going to this? This is Nigeria. Tribalism. I said, not against me. It's not possible. I said, money's in Lagos. I said, wait, prosperity is anywhere I go. Blessings are commanded. He said, from there, talking about Mount Hermon, God commanded the blessings. Blessings don't go by chance. They go by commandment. If God doesn't command a blessing to you, you can be in America and you'll be poor. And there are a lot of poor Americans who live on the streets. I have seen naked, crazy people on the streets in America. So, that's not a joke. I didn't know it was possible, but except that I saw it. I have seen people begging. The day a white woman walked up to me to beg for money, it pains me. I didn't know she was begging. I would have given her money so to go on record. She said, do you happen to have some change? I actually thought that God was about to enter a bus and that was going to give change. I thought you had your ticket to give you the exact amount of money that you had. It was after I left, I said, that woman was begging. He paid $1, give her $10 so that I can get back home and tell the story. That gave a white woman $10 on the streets in America. Now, what I say that if God doesn't command blessings towards you, he has no blessing. You can be in the center where you are mining up, and they will take it from you and you won't get anything. I always tell the people, I feel like telling them, you know, my wife, my in-laws are from Niger Delta. As I'm not saying you don't pray for derivation. Rather go and pray for derivation first, because except God gives it to you, you can't take it. And this is not really the history of mankind. If something can be your own, somebody has to take it from you, and you can't do anything. God commanded that Esau will serve Jacob. So, you see, these things are spiritual. Or as I tell you that, don't tell me that blessing is somewhere. Blessing is the center of the will of God for my life. If I locate that place, I will discover blessing. I said, if anywhere I go in the world, people say that, it's because you're not from this area, that's why they're not giving you this. I'm coming to something, trying to explain this issue here about mind. I am one person that people have told me before that you didn't get this. This is what it's tribalism. I said, tribalism, not where I am. There is nobody big enough on earth to tribally discriminate against me. It's not possible. Because a man can receive nothing except it is given to him from above. If God gives me something, any man who tries to stop it will die for it.
Sure.
I don't believe in tribalism. I don't. Now, let me tell you something about Christianity. It doesn't mean we can't see what's going on outside. It means we first understood that the words were framed by the word of God. So that the things that are seen were not made out of the things that are visible. What I mean is this. If I go to a place and everybody there says that you are the only Yoruba man there, which I am not, I'm a child of God, alright? Therefore, we won't give it to you and they don't give it to me. I leave the place knowing that God did not give it to me. After all, you see, people just like, you see, you have to be careful in life. That's what makes us believers. Look at recently. Sanusi Lamido Sanusi was appointed CBN governor. And they decided to sack some bank entities. People say, not an agenda. This is one man that never said it. That's it. I said, I don't believe it. They said, people say, they did not have ganged up to take our banks. And I look at them and say, this is why. Alright? Prosperity will hide you. Keep talking like that. You have called yourself a victim. Like I always say, if something is my own, any man who wants to take it by force, his hand will be cut. I don't care what the man is thinking. I only care about what I know. One of my friends quoted the scripture, which I never saw in that light. It said, many are the devices in the heart of the man, but only the purpose of God will stand. You know that scripture. But what it means, there's another way we look at it like that. Everybody can be saying one thing about my life. It's what God determines about my life that will come to pass. All of us shouted, but the more the time passed, the less we shouted, because we are beginning to see facts. When Charles Owido said, 25 billion or you are dead as a bank, the North shouted, Southern agenda. Because no Northern bank survived. You know that? None. The only one that survived, Unity Bank, is still not working till today. And they shouted, Southern agenda. Were it not for the kind of stubborn person that our former president was, they would have overturned that decree. They did everything. Southern agenda, at the end of the day, of course, they look like this. When I give a man a job, please let him do the job I gave him. That is supposed to do. In the market, there were some good sides to that stubbornness. Now, what am I going to explain? Bible talks about the renewing of the mind. It's a mindset amongst Nigerians. Anything that is not to be done, that is not done, we look for a tribal color to it. One of my resident doctors does this. One of the most irresponsible persons I ever worked with. That's what he was. One of the emptiest heads I ever had to deal with as a doctor. That's what he was. I said, I'm describing one person. He was very responsible. One day, walked to my office. Second afternoon, chief. He was wearing a coat. Very unlike him. So I was like, okay. So, Dr. Martin, what is going on? I'm on my way to Abuja. I said, are you taking permission or you're informing me? You know, he didn't understand the concept. And I know this person wants to go for his money. I said, I'm not saying you don't need money. Are you asking me or you are telling me that you're about to go to Abuja? Do you realize you have a boss where you work? He said, you know this is civil service. I said, this is not about civil service. This is about common sense. Now, that's the kind of person he was. Because before I came to UNT, he said, they didn't have a performance for a very long time. So everybody, like the Bible said, was doing as seemed good in his eyes, who were in the market. The same young man went to take exam, those guys, listened to me, and he failed. He failed the second time.
By the time he finished the third and he told him, no, by the time he finished the second and he said, please, don't come back for a year. Go and learn some more books. He happened to be taking the postings from the exam, having done his posting in Ife. We didn't have our accreditation then, so we sent him to Ife. Then one day I was in my office. One of our senior profs in the College of Medicine called me. So I went to the office to talk to him and see him. He said, please, that this young man is having problems. I said, I'm aware. That listen. That he said, the reason why he's not passing is because he's an evil man. Did you hear what I said? I said, prof, he told you that, yes. I said, I'm very happy. Like, let me tell you all his irresponsibilities. I told the whole story of his life in front of the prof. The man was looking at me. I said, this boy, he's so irresponsible, he shouldn't be sitting in your office. That nobody's against him. The person said he's against me, Professor Adife. One day the prof called me. I said, good morning, sir. Yeah, Dr. Mishnah, how are you doing? I'm fine. This doctor, is he with you or is he with us? Because for 3 months, he was not in Ife, he was not in Enugu. Ife, people thought he was in Enugu. Enugu people thought he was in Ife. Remember, the man was in Utuka, in his home, jumping from one place to the collecting salary for doing nothing. Because we here thought he was in Ife. Now, looking at this, yet, when the man finally failed, he came back and said, in fact, what he did was that he went to the University of Ife, went to every professor that he knew was from the East, to tell them how he was being victimized by the professor from the West in the department. When God wants to judge some people, that one of the people that God hates are those who spread, alright, strife amongst brethren. For nothing, he was turning men against men because he was not responsible. After he tells everyone that I did that, we told you that it's your life. If you like, good enough in the college, nobody cares. You can tell all this story you want. This is the paper. Write the exam. Pass. If you pass, we'll pass you. What am I saying? I understood all of this. And my life, I said no. It is not possible. Nobody can discriminate against me. Simply because I'm a child of God and he that is from above is above all. It's my mindset. Now listen to what I'm saying. I have a ministry. I teach young men there. They all have the same mentality. You can never persuade them that they are disadvantaged wherever they go. Because the person who teaches them me, that's my attitude. It comes out in what I say. It comes out in how I say it. It comes out in how I behave. Now when I'm telling stories, my best friends in the world, in fact, my best man, his name is Uchichi Obioma Igbokwe. That's also my best friend when I was getting married. They know all of this. Therefore, they can go anywhere in the world. They tell them that, they won't give it to you because you're not from this area. They will laugh at you in the face. And this is an interesting thing. It is to you according to what? Your faith. If you believe something, if you reflect like that in what you do. I'm talking about becoming something. When the Bible talks about being transformed by the renewing of your mind, you see, it's that word mind describes your approach, your interpretation of the events of life. You know, I was teaching somewhere, they had a youth program that was in one redeemed church, that was about 2 weeks ago. And as I was explaining, I was talking about to young people, talking about how to make choices for life. And up till now, your parents have made choices for you. Whether you realize it or not, they did. They even taught you how to do bad things, forget all the noise you were making. I'm sorry, it's a matter of fact. And that's the angle I'm bringing up, talking about mentors. That they even taught you how to do the bad things of life, even though they were making noise. I said, how do I know? I said, when children go to buy YX results, who pays for it? They don't work. The boy is 15. He's 16. He doesn't work. And doesn't steal. We explained to his father that this is the way everybody does it. One day, a woman calls me. She called me to apologize for something. Somebody brought her to see me, and the girl had gotten pregnant, all right, out of wedlock, young girl and all of that. So that's how they came to see me. And so in the process, the girl didn't go home because her mother is an elder in their church. Now listen. And the woman said, and that's why the woman called to apologize, because she called me that this is what Pastor Banky said. So she called to say, I'm very sorry. That the woman told the daughter, that was the girl told me, that she's not telling her to do anything, no. She's not telling her to do anything. All she wants to know is that she must hear the good news. What is the good news? She doesn't know where the pregnancy disappears. Let it just disappear.
So I was counseling the young woman and the young man that was responsible. You know, that's how I got involved in the case. So I talked to the young girl. Then when she went home finally, because she had to go home eventually, she told the mother everything. I said, the mother now corrected my phone number and called me to have left because in their church, a Pentecostal church. She was a deaconess in the church. And she was more concerned about the embarrassment than any other thing. No matter the message you preach to that girl forever, she can never forget that the rest of it is called acting, people please. How do we mentor people? Our children as an example. It's simply becoming, it's not trying to tell them something. It's just for them to know what we are exactly like. And it's not something we practice, it's something we just are. So this is job. This is the ABC of mentoring. It's simple. What is it that Christ expects me to be? You know, this morning I was still on my bed in the house and one of my Bibles was on the floor. So from there I was just reading the story. And the story was interesting. Those stories are always interesting. It was the story of how David killed Uriah. So I just read that portion and how he replies to Joab that this battle goes like this and it goes like that. One man is thinking, another man is this. Be encouraged. Fight hard and take the city. And the Bible said then, after Uriah died, Bathsheba mourned her husband, and after that David sent for her and took her, and she became his wife. Then I noticed the last line, and he said, this thing was displeasing in the eyes of God. Cool, enter my God. I began to pray, I said, yeah, that is an instant prayer. Because the next paragraph was not funny. The sword shall not depart out of thy house. Those were the judgments that Nathan gave to David. Why? Because this thing was displeasing in the eyes of God. So I began to pray. Say, God, please. And every day we go out to do things. Can you just quickly point out the ones that are routinely displeasing in your eyes? Say, yes. And that's the judgment of it. You know, people talk about the Holy Spirit led me, how to be led by the Holy Spirit. Look, those things are nice. They are not wrong, all right? You can be in your house, you can get up this morning and go out. But you know, let's be honest, he doesn't say most of the time. He doesn't talk most of the time. What does he expect? This is how we make choices. This is how we know the leading of the Holy Spirit. Each time we do that, which we know is pleasing in the sight of God. If we do that, he will by himself lead us in the ones that we don't know. That's what James said when he said, if any man lacks wisdom, you have done the one that you know. Please, I hope you are following what I'm going to explain.
Yes,
this is the principle of mentoring. It's for, because what is life about? We want to achieve one thing, this is just one thing, and this is what I've called very true. If you read the book of Hebrews, Paul explained there that, look, that Christ came so as to bring many sons to glory. What does it mean? That is what God is doing in us, is to bring us to the perfect image of Christ Jesus. Please, I hope you know what I'm saying. He wants us to become exactly like Christ Jesus. Exactly. And that transformation is not outward because we all look different. The transformation is first inward, which is what the Bible calls the Spirit of Christ. Please, I hope you know what I'm saying. It's called the Spirit of Christ. Now, God wants to transform us. Now, listen. Having done that, routinely every one of us as men, we are the mentors in our houses. That's the way it is. I tell people that if you want to know what I think about women, look at my wife. Don't talk to me. Just look at my wife. That's all. If you want to know what I think about some things, just look at the people I have that influence on. I'm routinely, first and foremost, the mentor in my house. Now, there's a reason why I explain that. That was why God did not allow us to lay eggs inside the sand, like ostrich, and go away. And the children will hatch and take care of themselves. Why? Because the first place they learn godliness from is from home. If I want to things I talk to my wife, then God allowed help me to understand that I've been teaching any well, I don't teach women normally on such things, but any woman who asked me this counsel I give. I said the first example of how to respect the appearance that children have is how the mothers respect the fathers. What I'm telling you is a matter of fact. The child does not know how to respect his elders until he sees the mother respect his father. That's where he learns it from. The first example of righteous living and godliness that a child has is how the parents behave. If you want the child to become a hypocrite in life, just be a hypocrite. Behave one way at home and come to church on Sunday and say, bless you, sir. Oh, this is where I praise God. Oh, the Lord shall supply. Then the boy comes home next morning. Daddy, please, he said, we should bring money. So he come on, keep going. You're always looking for money. You know the conference has, conference has. But don't say that you say that in church. In church, when they say that, please, say, we need to buy a new speaker. Who will give 500 naira? You quickly go and give you 500 naira. The guy can't reconcile it. So he thinks Christianity is a joke. But let me give you one of these I practice. You know, in church, people say that give your children offering regularly. You know, please listen to me fully before you judge what I'm about to say. I'm one person that don't give my children offering regularly. They would go to their children's church once a month. My wife will take a good amount of money and give to the senior person and say, give to uncle something, this is your offering. Do you understand the concept? The 20 naira that we hand to children is a bad lesson. It's a very terrible lesson. I refuse to do it. My children routinely hold 1,000 naira. I may not do it every day. Do you understand what I mean? But when I'm giving them offering, my wife plays a rule. It must be big. It mustn't be 20, 50 naira. You know, she doesn't even know once a month anymore. It can be every Sunday or every other Sunday. But anytime she's giving them money, it must be a fat note. There are four of them that go to that children's street church now, church. So she gives to the biggest boy, actually, and says, "Akinu, give this to Uncle Sunday. Tell him it's the offering money for all of you. Because, you see, a small bowl of ice cream is 300 naira. A meat pie is 120 naira. Good quality biscuits is like 200 naira. This boy has seen you buy it for him. If you give him 20 naira for offering, you have taught him a lesson. And I think you understand the lesson." So from the beginning, I've never given 20 naira for offering. Never. Never. Don't learn it that the work of God is done with 20 naira. You must never learn it. They've seen me pay money for fees. I mean, they've heard you discuss house rent. In the same manner, if I like the way Bishop William was to say in those days, that the best way is to, the offering for the day, everybody gather and go and give it together. If your offering is 1,000 naira, if it's 5,000 naira, or if you are like me that would like to give major offering once a month, what you're about to do, let all the children see that, okay, how many thousands are you writing on that check? Then what is that for? This is not your school fees, this is for church. And I put it, he grows up knowing. Do you follow my point? That this thing is important. I cannot buy me clothes that are denominated in thousands and I give you 15 naira for offering. I'm teaching a very bad lesson. Without saying it, he's picking up some things that God will give him change when we go to the house of God. He's one of the beggars in the street. But he sees me give beggars money routinely because that's what God commanded you give to beggars. I don't try to impress anybody by giving a beggar 1,000 naira. It's against the will of God as far as I'm concerned. The beggar is supposed to collect what? Crumbs. That was what Lazarus wanted from the table of the rich man. Crumbs. That's why he stands by the roadside. 10 naira here, 20 naira there, 5 naira there. No beggar, except I'm in a very, very unusual day, gets 50 naira from me. It's 10 naira, 20 naira, 5 naira. You know what? He's a beggar. He's always there. If all of us give him the 5 naira, you earn a fat salary. You know that? Yeah, that's the principle. That's the principle. That's why I do my things. There's one young man, anytime he's going to school, he's supposed to come and see me. And I don't give him 5 naira, and I give him a lot of money. A few thousand, because he's not a beggar. I'm just helping him, he's going to school. So I give him proper money. But beggars, no. I want to give my mother money, cannot be small money. I want to give my father-in-law something, it must be big. And my son sees me doing these things. Automatically, he's learning how to honor parents, learning how to honor God, learning how to treat beggars. I don't shout at beggars in his presence, even in my mind, so that he will learn how not to treat poor people. Treat people with respect. Give them my point. Now, these are not things you can practice by themselves. They are things you first become in yourself. And then you do them. Some of the things we do as a, it is time to pray. It is time to do this. They are good, but we have to be careful that we don't teach children, we don't immunize them against Christianity. You know the immunization? Now they immunize against polio. You take polio, they can't do anything. Put it in the child's mouth. Then the child develops immunity against the polio that can do something. No, that's the law of immunization. Alright? Now, out of this chamber, the great American evangelist said that some people have been immunized to Christianity. You give them small Christianity as children. That's why you hear all them, Bill Gates and all them, they were raised up amongst Christians. But they grew up despising Christianity. Because it was like a show, it was like a form. We do business differently on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Then on Sunday, we go and do church differently. We don't realize that Christianity is Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And the child needs to do Monday, Tuesday, Friday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. He knows when you are telling the truth. He knows when you are telling the lie. He knows how you behave on Sunday. He knows how you behave on other days. The children are so strong. When my boy was like 3 years of age, one day I wore. Then I used to wear suit to go and preach. I used to wear native. So one day I wore native. I was going to the office on Friday. They said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going to work." He said, "No, you are going for Bible study." I said, "No, I'm going to work." He said, "This is not the cloth for work. This is the cloth for Bible study." I was amazed. This guy was like 3 years of age. He said, "This is not the cloth for work. This is the cloth for Bible study." I didn't know the guy already knew because I teach my Bible classes on Saturday evenings. He already knew that I used to wear, native, just normal short native like this. That was the only thing I used to wear for my Bible studies. But for going to work, I wear a suit. So the young boy looked and said, "No, this is not the cloth for work. This is the one for Bible study." And he was 3 years of age. I hope my message is clear. This is the principle of mentoring. It's not how to talk to somebody or how not to talk. Those are secondary. The primary thing is what I have become. And how do I become? That's what Paul wrote to Timothy. He said, "Give yourself fully or wholly to these things." That was one of the greatest compliments I ever got in life. It was one thing my wife said once. She said, "When they say men backslide, it makes me laugh. That you, if you were to pastor, why are you sliding to God?" He said, "Who you say you are pastor?" He said that you have to come from someone to be able to slide back into the thing. That all the years I have known you for nothing else than this thing. That is the word of God, the scriptures, Christianity, the life of Christ. Then who would you say you are backsliding? Now, she was, if you say I was the most unusual Christian she ever met, God, the way I did my things. But that everything I did was centered around the scriptures. What am I saying? Paul said to Timothy, "Give yourself fully, wholly to these things." I pray that people will understand this thing, that Christianity is not about church. Christianity is not about church. There's a number of materials I worked on recently. We want to explain something about how to work for God. That look, people think that when you say that what is God's work? And then what is this one? Secular work. That expression does not exist in Christianity. About when we just want to clarify something, just communicate. In truth, everything you do is the work of God. Let me just say this as I close. You know, one of the mistakes we make is that we think that God judges our dedication by coming to church. No, he doesn't. What I'm saying is a matter of fact. Your dedication to God, God does not judge it in church. I'll say it one more time. Your dedication to God, he does not judge it in church. He doesn't come to church to mark register. You know where he judges? At work. You know where he judges? At home. You know why? He knows everybody behaves nicely in church. Has never seen, no, think about that. Never seen an adulterer bring his girlfriend to a Pentecostal church. No, think about it for a second. The man has three girlfriends. They have never come into church. So if God was to check in church, he would never catch him. What will never catch him? A lot of men who steal government money, they don't steal church money. They will steal government money and bring it to church. That's what the Bible calls. He said sometimes we call, he was talking about the days of the kingdom of God. He said, no longer will the road be judged as generous.
We're talking about the days of the kingdom of God. That no longer will the road be judged as generous. That is, if you judge only in church, a thief will look like a nice man. That's why those days used to tell us that in Italy, all the mafia dons, you've seen the movies, all the mafia dons are very good Catholics. I was watching the mafia movie long ago. The man said, his girlfriend said, divorce your wife from marrying me. The man said, no. You want me to go and kill the words of the Reverend Father? I'm going to die and go to hell. He was with a girlfriend, he's a married man. And he was telling the girlfriend that if I divorce my wife, the Reverend Father will send me to hell. Because we thought Christianity is only in church. Let me just say this. It confuses our children. Let me just say that. It does. When Daniel was going to be judged, you know, nobody checked what he did in the temple. The first place they checked was how he handled the king's affairs. It was a civil servant. It was a minister. The first thing they checked was how he handled the affairs in the secular work that he did. I wish business people would understand this. If you sell somebody a fake product, no matter how much offering you give, you are a sinner. Because God doesn't come to church first to judge. Where does he judge? He judges at home. I used to tell women that if I see you talk to your husband anyhow, the husband you're talking to, you're talking anyhow, then you now see me and say, Pastor, good afternoon, I will kick you for this. You are not allowed to kneel down for me as a pastor. When you are not willing to kneel down for your husband, I reject it in Jesus' name. No, anywhere I preach, I tell women, if any of you are going to greet me, Pastor, good afternoon, sir. Next day I see you with your husband, greet your husband in my presence. Husband, good afternoon. No, the mistake we make is that we think God is looking, God is inside the pastor, so he's looking. But God is not inside the husband. Generosity also. A lot of us, we think generosity is only in church. I had a friend that didn't give anything to the church, but 5 kobo of his money can drop. If you like that, you won't give money. What have I explained today? The fundamental thing about being a mentor is to first become the right person. Then your life becomes an example. And without you realizing it, people start following your example. Let me summarize what Myers Morrow said. That teaching I told you I listened to in 94. So the Bible says, train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. He said, the way we interpret that, we say, train, tell the child where to go and not to go. He said, no, that's not what the Bible said. That the word is train. That have you ever seen a train? That's it. I'm telling you how he explained it. That what we find out in, you know, we see this railway things that pass up at the Nigerian Railway Corporation. That the train, we see like 10 cars. That the train is just a small engine in front. Not small, you know what I mean? It's big, but compared to the whole length, it's maybe like 1/20th of the whole thing. So that is the train. Every other thing is a car. They call them cars. So that when it comes to train up a child, what they said is hook everybody up and go in a direction and they will follow that direction. It's not that you will stand and tell them where to go. That how you train a child by moving in one direction with him hooked to your belt, then he moves in that direction. If daddy doesn't tell lies, the boy doesn't understand how to lie. If daddy doesn't cheat people, if he's honest 24 hours, 7 days of the week, the young boy learns the same thing. He's training. He's being trained. Because the train is in front and it's hooked up to the train. Do you understand the principle?
Yes, sir.
That's all. I'm sure I've overshot my time.
That is all that I have to say about the ABC of mentoring. And I hope that I have explained something to all of us today. Thank you very much. God bless you.